Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about.
Your football talk, your way.
Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It is the Pomp and Joe Show, minus Pomp, minus Joe. But with me, Austin Bechtold, your friend City Limits, from behind the glass to the host chair, alongside Brian Bacco, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, taking you up until the PM team, which will be hosted by Jack Hillgrove and intern Dom behind the glass today. So it's the youngins' takeover for today's Tomlin Tuesday on Monday.
Do I count in that group?
You do.
All right.
You do
like
count
it.
In that group.
I mean, I'm younger than Pony and Muller, so absolutely.
How do the Steelers get cohesion back, Mike?
Good. From an on-field standpoint, can that cohesion come back pretty quickly?
It better, huh? You know? No rest for the weary, man. We're excited about it, though. It's the National Football League. You know, the road is getting narrow, and it's good to be in the position that we're in. Certainly, we could be in a better position, but by the same token, we also could be in a worse position. And so we are where we are. We're excited about the opportunity that is this week and beyond.
It's kind of hard, I think, for Mike to say we could be in a worse position when you were 10-3. And I mean, what's worse position? We could end up being the seventh seed.
Yeah,
or is he saying we could be like the Browns, 3-13?
I mean, if they do finish this season 10-7, I mean that would be a collapse even by the Steelers' standards.
Yeah.
And yet, I hesitate to look at it in the same light as last year's 3-game slide when they got beaten by the Cardinals with 2 wins. A Colts team that was not very good, and Bailey Zappe and the Patriots coming in here.
I was at that game.
So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of a rock bottom level skid, and they obviously turned to Mason Rudolph from Mitch Trubisky.
Doesn't it feel like we've kind of seen a rock bottom skid for them over the last couple of seasons where it feels like they hit rock bottom?
Yeah, and sort of in their defense, they do find a way to punch back after that. I mean, they came back with Mason Rudolph on top. To win those next 3 games, go into the playoffs with some momentum to Buffalo. Obviously, it didn't do them much good with the way that game started. That's why I'm not completely sky is falling reactionary right now to the way things are going. I think they've kind of settled into about what I expected from them. You know, 11-6 would be a 2-game improvement from what I predicted. And, you know, if they find a way to beat the Bengals here, which would not surprise me in the least bit, they already did it once in Cincinnati. They have the extra rest. They'll have the home crowd behind them on Saturday night. I think the weather's supposed to be pretty cold, but we'll see if people are still fired up for that one. Then, yeah, they could go into Houston with some momentum and beat this Texans team, I think. And, you know, if they do have to play Baltimore, I don't think I'd pick them to win that game. But, man, weird things happen when Steelers and Ravens get together, whether it's in Pittsburgh or down there at M&T Bank Field. I wouldn't put it past them at all to spring an upset of Lamar Jackson and company in the wild card round.
Brian, I hope you enjoyed the last couple days of 45, 50, 60 degree weather, because Saturday it'll be 18 degrees at kickoff.
Yikes.
Cloudy skies, 18 degrees.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, that's not fun for anybody, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Not fun for Chris Boswell having to kick the ball that's as hard as a rock. The Bengals are dealing with some kicking struggles of their own. Evan McPherson, groin injury. I think he's eligible to return this week, but I haven't seen anything that points to him returning. And if you were watching that wild Broncos-Bengals game on Saturday night, you saw that Cade York doinked one that could have made the game a much easier win for them. Instead, they had to go to OT and rely on the heroics of Joe Burrow and T. Higgins yet again. So, you know, they are rolling right now, coming to Pittsburgh with plenty of good vibes for the Bengals. I just remember the feeling in Cincinnati when the Steelers went down there and beat them 5 weeks ago. It was basically like they had ended their season, and then they run it back with four consecutive wins, albeit against three bad teams and one decent team in the Broncos. And now all of a sudden, they still have the slightest of playoff hopes. It's just not very realistic, because if I were the Chiefs, you know, not only are you going to rest guys to get them ready for the playoffs and make sure nobody gets hurt, but I'd much rather see Bo Nix and the Broncos in the dance than Burrowhead.
No doubt about it. Let's go to Seth in Long Island. He's been waiting for a while. What's going on, Seth? Seth, are you there?
I'm here.
What's going on, Seth? What's on your mind?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. Brian, always great listening to you, man. And, you know, thanks for getting me on. Appreciate you taking the call. So,
you too, Seth. Thanks.
Just bottom line, man. Just, you know, Austin, I've been, you know, an advocate, you know, on the macro picture. I've been an advocate for getting Justin Fields in. And quite frankly, I think that Justin should be the man next year. I think you should extend him, get him a contract. Keep him in-house. You saw what the quarterbacks can do that are mobile with Jaden Daniels. Michael Penix doesn't even run that much, but throughout the whole weekend, you need someone that's going to open up this offense. And I think you need, quite frankly, to get rid of Arthur Smith. You need a creative mind to really take over here. I'm tired of watching the same plays, first down, second down, running, and then no creativity. So, you know, and again, the defense, gentlemen, much worse shape than I would have thought, considering it's the calling card. And, you know, you don't lose the game to the Cowboys. You don't lose the game to the Colts. And it's a completely different situation. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate it, Seth. Brian, I don't think there's any chance they move off of Arthur Smith after just one season, right?
No, I'm not as down on Arthur Smith as Seth is. I mean, I think I would like to see a little bit more creativity as well, to his point. But I also just wonder, how much of that is the top-down philosophy from Mike Tomlin at this point with the Steelers? I mean, I don't want to say Matt Canada did a bad job because he was handcuffed. I think it certainly went beyond that. I don't know that he was up to snuff for an NFL offensive coordinator role, clearly. But, you know, Smith, I think, has been okay. I would give him another year. I'm not ready to write him off. But I am with Seth that, you know, part of the reason that I was pro Justin Fields after that Raiders game, and we were debating ad nauseum, is this the right move, turning to Russell Wilson, or did you get the window that you needed to go full speed ahead with Fields and until the wheels fall off? Part of the reason why I would have stuck with Fields if it were me, and I think Mike Tomlin kind of proved me wrong with the way Russ came when he got his chance and injected some new life into the passing offense, at least, is I think the upside's higher with Fields at this point in their respective careers. I think if you are going to take that big swing and hit on one of these superhuman quarterbacks like we see with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, pretty small chance that Fields is that guy, but at least you can kind of squint and see it with some of the plays he made in those first six games when he was the starter. Russ is kind of a bridge guy at this point, and you know, I don't know that they've topped out with him, but it certainly didn't go their way when they faced the three best teams on their schedule.
Well,
the three toughest games they've had to play.
Maybe my weather app was deceiving me. Our buddy Scott Harbaugh, WPXI, just tweeted at us and said 22 degrees at kickoff with the wind chill at 15 and it'll be dry.
All right.
That's not going to be a fun experience.
Dry,
sitting out in that.
I'll take dry. That's good. You know, the wind has been whipping up these last couple days, but thank you to Scott for the insight there. The Steelers have been able to kind of dodge, you know, the coldest of cold so far this season. They had that snow game in Cleveland, which, you know, if you listen to George Pickens afterward, the weather was a huge factor in why they lost that game. So hopefully they don't have to lean on that again when they play the Bengals here.
Brian, one thing that really stood out to us is that Mike Tomlin, especially early on in the presser, really put an emphasis on forcing turnovers and that they weren't able to take advantage of opportunities early in the Chiefs game on a fumble on special teams. There were two fumbles early on in the first quarter in the Ravens game. And it just sounds like that Tomlin was trying to depend on turnovers and take advantage of the other team making mistakes than maybe the Steelers being able to do enough. So basically saying, I think, that they needed those type of execution plays to be able to beat these teams.
Yeah, I don't really like hearing the paraphrased explanation of we need to get luckier with our turnover luck. I mean, that I get that the Steelers are really good at that. We were all writing and talking about the turnover culture just 4 or 5 weeks ago, and it is contagious, and they might be the best team at it. When you look at TJ Watt, who's probably the best player on the planet when it comes to punching the ball out and forcing fumbles, they've got guys on special teams who always seem to make splash plays, whether that's Miles Killebrew with the blocks, or James Pierre is an underrated punching the ball out type of guy. Mark Robinson has done it 2 of the last 3 weeks now, laying the wood with big hits in the punt coverage game. But you do need to have a better schematic plan that you don't always have to depend on the ball bouncing their way. And it did bounce their way the last time they played the Bengals. So I think I'd like to see a little bit more of an explanation for how they can be better as a sound, well-coached football team than just, yeah, we're not getting the lucky breaks lately. Hopefully it'll turn around for us soon.
So how about the Steelers are number one in the NFL in total takeaways with 31. They're tied with Buffalo.
Yeah, certainly can't erase what they've already done. They've been really good.
And Buffalo is number one in total differential. Turnover differential at plus 23. The Steelers are plus 15. That's second in the NFL. So that's clearly a huge part of how they've won some games. But I feel like you can't be just so turnover dependent, because some of it is just a lucky bounce. And that's kind of what it was against Kansas City. Ball bounces the wrong way. Baltimore, ball bounces the wrong way. Different story with interceptions. But when you're relying on fumbles, I mean, I think about the one when Lamar was hit by Alex Highsmith. That could have completely shifted things at the very start of the game to set a tone.
It could have, and then Lamar serves up a pick to Minkah Fitzpatrick later, but that, you know, I think he has 4 interceptions this season, and that one was really the only one that I think was a bad throw. And even then, Rashad Bateman may have stopped on his route, apparently, based on what we heard from people post-game and just looking at the replay of that. So, yeah, I mean, they need to be more stout, I think, at this point, rather than just kind of hoping that TJ Watt goes and does TJ Watt things for you. I mean, that's a nice trump card to have in your back pocket. He's done it a lot against Joe Burrow over the course of their careers. That's kind of a sneaky, underrated individual rivalry in this division, TJ Watt versus Burrow. I mean, we had the interception that we all remember 2 or 3 years ago down in Cincinnati in that week one game where he just jumps up.
Five turnover game.
Yeah, Joe Burrow throws it. And TJ Watt goes up like a guy blocking a shot and picks it off. So I think JJ Watt was giving him some grief for not doing that against the Chiefs when he got in there and got his hands up for the one deflection that Patrick Queen couldn't come down with. So, yeah, I mean, you do have confidence that with him and Highsmith and Nick Herbig's, really, I should mention him too when you talk about somebody else who's really good at getting the ball out from opposing quarterbacks, or even Derrick Henry once upon a time, that it is part of the recipe for them. But it's just never encouraging that they have so little margin for error against the Chiefs of the world, the Eagles of the world, you know, the Ravens. I'll still chalk it up to, you know, they play them better than just about anybody, but you know, they wiped the field with them in Baltimore just a couple of weeks ago. So they've got to come up with some more answers than just, we think TJ Watt's going to come through here at the end, lock up the defensive player of the year award with another strip sack, and we'll get out of the stadium with a win.
There really is no other big candidates that is competing with TJ. Now that, I mean, Trey Hendrickson is playing on a team that is probably not going to get into the playoffs. Myles Garrett, very similarly. Even though he did record his 14th sack for a fourth consecutive year, that's a record.
Yeah, he knew about that too,
good
as he pointed
him
out on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, good for him.
Going up to his position coach and saying, there's another record stat that I can get that you may not know about other than my 100th career sack. But yeah, 4 seasons in a row with 14. Well, okay.
But Aiden Hutchinson hurt. So, I mean, TJ is, Trayvon Diggs hurt.
Is
Micah
Sertan
Parsons
number
hurt.
Two?
Sertan's having a really good season. I mean, he's going to get probably like the hipster vote from a lot of people, because it is always the sexy stat to look at stats and to look at sacks. Forced fumbles, I think, is going to have TJ right up there with the voters because he's, you know, far and away leading the league in that category. But yeah, it's, you know, Chris Jones, I think, might still get some love, although look what the Chiefs just did to the Steelers defensively without him in there. So yeah, it's not really a year for a lot of the heavy hitters. Dexter Lawrence has been great, in terms of a defensive lineman producing pressure, but the Giants are so bad that he's just not going to be in that discussion.
Surtain has closed the gap a little bit on FanDuel. Watt's still the favorite at minus 115. Surtain, though, is plus 140.
Okay.
So that gap has closed because Watt, as of a couple weeks ago, had a huge lead.
Yeah, and it's just tough for corners because, you know, sometimes guys aren't throwing at you. You're not going to get those interceptions that are easy counting stats for the people who vote on this to look at.
Cam Hayward's plus 25,000.
Yeah,
long shot odds. He has the same odds as Micah Parsons, oddly enough.
Yeah, I actually still think you can make a case for Cam Hayward to be the Steelers team MVP this year with the way he's played.
Yeah.
TJ's always going to get more of the voter love, but you know, the people who watch this team week in and week out like we do know how much Cam Hayward has meant to what they're doing here. And we'll see if either one of those guys can kind of, you know, make that signature play this week against Burrow and the Bengals to end the season on a high note at home.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Get back to the phone lines in a moment if you want to chime in at 412-928-9370. Brian, Mike Tomlin mentioned that, well, of course, he was asked, the Ravens will play ahead of the Steelers. So the Steelers, once they take the field against Cincinnati, will know who wins the AFC North. If the Steelers win it, they win the AFC North against Cincinnati. If the Ravens win it, Steelers, they're done. No chance of winning the AFC North. Completely gone. Baltimore with a win against Cleveland can clinch, and they are 18.5-point favorites. I think we would be absolutely stunned and flabbergasted if Baltimore does not win that game.
I've seen some people saying that that's actually kind of a favor done for the Steelers by the league because now the Ravens can't just rest on their laurels. I mean, they have to go out there and put Lamar, Derrick Henry, and company in that game against Cleveland and basically have to try to win it still.
But that begs the question, if you're the Steelers and the Ravens lock up the division, do you play your starters? I would, because if you lose and the Chargers beat the Raiders, and that might be a foregone conclusion, anything can happen in the NFL, I get it, but I would imagine that the Chargers are going to win. If the Steelers lose and the Chargers win, you have to go back to Baltimore instead of playing a Houston team that is really down in the dumps and scored 2 points on Christmas at home against Baltimore themselves. I would not feel good about the Steelers going back to Baltimore for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is a good debate topic because you're going to have people who will say, who cares? You got to go through everybody anyway at some point. You know, if you have to beat Baltimore, what does it matter if you have to do it in the first round or the second round? Do you really want to say, okay, we're scared to go down there and play them again at their place when you've beaten them now, what does it get, 8 out of the last 10? So I get that side of it. On the other side, if the hallmark of a successful season at this point for the Steelers is to take a step forward and win that first playoff game in 7 years, just objectively, I think you feel better about doing that against a Houston team that just got beat 30-2 by the Ravens.
And I'll give you this argument. It's kind of what people say, because I'm a Penn State guy, about Penn State in the playoffs. What path do you want to take? Do you want the Ohio State path where you have to beat Tennessee and then have to go play Oregon in the Rose Bowl? Or do you want SMU at home and then play Boise instead of having to play Oregon? You get to play Boise where you're currently a favorite by about 11, 12 points. And then you get to play the winner of either Notre Dame, who a lot of the country thinks you're better than, or a Carson Beck-less Georgia team. I don't care really who you beat to have to get to the championship game or who you have to beat if it's the NFL. If it's Houston, if it's Baltimore, I would rather play who I think I have a better chance to be able to beat to be able to be on that path. I mean, I don't think that's like a defeatist mindset either.
No, it's realistic, and it's not wanting to get beat up in a physical Ravens game, right? I think the Houston Texans are a team that you can, not easily, but I would feel a lot better about beating them than the Ravens, and then you're getting yourself into a situation where, okay, now it's maybe two games that you need to win against teams that are better than you instead of three. So I hear that. Maybe there's a needle to thread there. Maybe there's a balance to strike of, okay, Ravens lock up that AFC title in the 4:30 slate. Steelers certainly still try to beat the Bengals to get that higher seed and go to Houston instead of Baltimore, but maybe TJ Watt plays a little bit less snaps. Maybe you take a little bit of the tread off of Cam Hayward. Maybe you, like I mentioned earlier, get a little bit more creative with some looks that you deploy defensively or some Justin Fields packages see the light of day a little bit more than they otherwise would if you're looking at it as a must-win, winner-go-home type of game. I think you can use this Week 18 game as a little bit of a launching pad or precursor to the postseason as opposed to, no, we need to absolutely go 100% all in, no margin for error in this game. We got to try to win it.
Houston's going to be resting all their guys, right? I mean, they have nothing to play for.
Yeah, that's kind of a hidden benefit for them that they're locked into that four seed now. But they're kind of like the Chiefs in that by virtue of getting a Christmas Day game, they're going to have a really long layoff. Not as long as the Chiefs because they get the actual bye in the first round.
And I don't like their guys sitting because, I mean, they've been struggling. Don't you think they need to find some cohesion? I mean, I know you're in week 18 now. How much more cohesion is there to find? But I think that there is something to going into the playoffs on a high note compared to basically falling into the playoffs.
Well, if they want to get the most out of that big waiver claim of Deontay Johnson, don't you want C.J. Stroud to get some in-game reps with him?
It seems like ever since they acquired Deontay Johnson, they've gone nowhere but backwards.
Yeah, outscored 30-2 since he's been on the payroll. Tough look there for the Texans. Even his mere presence around the team, not in the game. But no, I haven't seen yet what D'Amico Ryans is saying about how they're going to approach this week. Maybe it's one of those ones where C.J. Stroud gets a quarter or a half, or they just do put him in bubble wrap and make sure he doesn't get injured before that wild card game. So, yeah, I mean, this is the situation that the Steelers have backed themselves into, and at least they don't have to deal with potentially going to Buffalo again in the first round, because the Bills completely wiped the floor with the Jets yesterday. So the picture's getting a little bit clearer here, and now they probably also aren't going to get that home playoff game. But I actually think kind of six one hand, half dozen the other, playing, say, the Chargers at home versus the Houston Texans on the road.
I'd much rather be at home, though. I mean,
if I had to choose, I would. But, I think the Chargers are playing good football right now themselves.
Yeah. And Houston's not, so that's another conversation that we can have. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We can hear from you at 412-928-9370. Before we turn it over to the PM team hosted by Jack Hillgrove today, it's the Pop and Joe Show with Austin Bechtold from the glass to the mic inside the main room. Your friend City Limits in for Joe and Pop, joined alongside Brian Bacco of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Sean has a headline, and we're back on the Fan.